I'm going to continue sharing with you today about faith. Amen. And I think that before I left off, I was sharing with you a very, very important aspect of the message on faith, isn't it? Faith, the Bible says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for another opportunity to hear the word of God. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It is also a light unto our path. And we're praying this morning that the light in your word will shine in our direction, O God. May we be encouraged. May we be lifted up this morning. May we be strengthened in our faith. And may we grow in our knowledge of the scriptures, and above all, in our love for God himself. We thank you, Father, for this great opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. So, when someone has faith, they typically have not seen what they have faith for. Do you see what I'm saying? That's what the world calls foolishness. That is to believe when you can't see. Do you see? The world likes to see and then believe. They like to be able to hold and believe, to be able to feel and believe, to be able to smell and believe, or even sense and believe. But faith is based on nothing. Rather, it is your faith that allows you to see it, isn't it? It is the substance. When you're holding something, your sense of touch is able to feel the substance of it, and that makes you say it is what it is, isn't it? But when you're walking in faith, it is not from your sense of touch or seeing or hearing or smelling or anything like that, but the faith itself becomes the substance of what you hope for. Amen. That the reason why you believe what you believe is the faith that you have that God is able to make that possible, whatever that is. Amen. So that's what we're growing in. As a young church, as a new church, we need a lot of faith. We need faith to believe that God is with us. We need faith to believe that our church is going to grow. We need faith to believe that this is a mega church. We need faith to believe that we're in the right place, in the right company, with the right people. Hallelujah. You know, Colin just shared a testimony with me. You know, he had a group that was here the other time, and they're doing a project or something like that to do with the church, and they chose our church. And he was just telling me they got their group scored 50 out of 50. Wow. You know, so for me, it's one of the signs that he chose the right church. Hallelujah. It's one of the signs that God is with us. It's one of the signs that associating with us is a blessing for your life. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Wow. So, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Then we talked about some different areas of your life where you need to apply faith, isn't it? That you need faith in your relationship with God. Hallelujah. You need faith to believe that you have a relationship with God. You need faith to believe that God loves you in spite of who you are. See, sometimes you don't even like yourself because you know you, you know, and you know the way you are. And so when you don't like yourself, you often feel that everyone feels about you the way you feel about yourself. Is it not true? Yeah. When you feel a certain way, you feel awkward, you think everyone thinks you are awkward. Is it not true? When you feel out of place, you think it's visible to everyone, and everyone shares the same opinion that you are out of place. Do you get it? That's why God wants us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Because your ability to extend love to someone actually depends on how much you love yourself. You know, and how you feel about yourself, how you treat yourself has a lot to do with how people get treated by you. Do you see what I'm saying? You see, sometimes when you encounter really nasty people, you're not the first person they're nasty to. They're often nasty to themselves, too. And that makes them want to behave that way towards you also. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, it's important for you to understand that God's relationship with you is not based on how you feel about how He feels about how you feel about how He feels about you. Hallelujah. That God is God. Amen. God is God and He loves you no matter what. Hallelujah. He loves you no matter what. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means God paid the highest price for the worst you. You know, while we were yet sinners, I mean, you in this form is a lot better than the one Christ died for. Are you getting it? The one God saved was a lot worse than who you are today. At least you're trying. Are you not trying? At least you're in church. You didn't used to go to church at all. You didn't used to be a church kind of person. I mean, Sunday morning, you wouldn't be in church. You would either be sleeping in or sleeping out. You get it? Or recovering from some kind of a hangover or trying to, you know, that's if you found your way home after last night. Do you get it? Because you may be planning the trip back home this afternoon. And it was a whole something. You know, you in church today is not how you used to be. Is it not the case? So you can be sure that if Christ could die for that old you, then He loves this you even more. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so you need faith to believe in that. You need faith to believe that God loves you. You need faith to believe that the proof of God's love in your life is not in everything working out the way you want it to work out. Hallelujah. The proof of God's love is not in having a perfect life or having a perfect situation. Hallelujah. The proof of God's love is not in your feelings. It's not in feeling loved by God. There are times when things happen. It's like when a lot of good things or a series of positive happenings occur in a person's life. And it's not so hard to feel loved by God when you're in such a situation. Is it not the case? Yeah, it's not so hard to feel loved by God when, you know, a job interview that you thought didn't go well, suddenly you get a call from them and, you know, they're hiring you. It's not easy to or difficult to feel loved by God when you are called by your boss and suddenly they're giving you a promotion or a pay raise or something good like that. It's not difficult to feel loved by God under such circumstances. But you need faith to feel loved by God no matter what is going on in your life. Even when you fail an exam, you still need faith to believe that God loves you. You need faith to believe that God loves you even when the relationship didn't work out. You see what I'm saying? When you don't feel loved by others, you still need faith to believe that God loves you anyway. Hallelujah. So you can see that your relationship with God is going to require a lot of faith on your part to be meaningful and to be sustained. Hallelujah. Another area where we said we need faith is what? I think for your personal needs, isn't it? You need faith for your personal needs. You also need faith for achieving your goals and overcoming challenges and so on and so forth. We need faith for church growth and development, isn't it? We need faith for our church to grow. We need faith. We need to believe and we need to trust. You need faith even to approach someone and invite them to church. You need faith to approach someone and share Christ with them. You need faith to approach someone and pray with them. Hallelujah. I'm finding more and more that people like prayers or people like being prayed for, isn't it? people like being prayed for, and people need being prayed for, isn't it? People need prayers, and so people love prayers. And one of the things that will open up people's lives to you is when you offer to pray for them, isn't it? Yeah, you see, most people do not reject an offer to pray for them. You know, they'll just close their eyes, open their eyes, whatever. They're just going to pray somehow in case there's something good in your prayers. Hallelujah. Because most people believe that there is a God somewhere. Even if they don't call him God, they have different names for him. Sometimes they call him Mother Nature. Sometimes they say he's the supreme being. Sometimes they say something big up there. Sometimes different things. They have different descriptions for God. But we call him God because we know him. Hallelujah. So we need faith to believe that this is a great church. This is a great work we're doing. And that God's blessing is on it. And it's going to do well. It's going to flourish. And it's going to grow. Say amen. All right. Then we went on to talk about types of faith. Because we were getting ready to talk about how to increase faith. You know. But before we went into that, we started talking about the types of faith. Because there are so many different descriptions that the Bible gives to this concept called faith, you know, and some are types, some are descriptions, but they are all relating to the same thing. Hallelujah. So, types of faith, number one is what? Little faith. Number two is what? Great faith, isn't it? Then number three is weak faith. And then number four is strong faith. Then number five is exceeding growing faith. Did you get that? Number five, exceeding growing faith. Number six is increasing faith. Do you have that? You don't have number six. Do you or do you not? You don't have number six. Okay. Increasing faith. Hallelujah. Now, all these descriptions are just pointing to one thing, that faith is not just some fixed something that a person has. That faith is dynamic and faith moves. It's fluid. It's not the same. Do you understand? And different things can happen to it. What is true, though, is that the Bible says God has dealt with every man a measure of faith. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. God has given everybody some amount of faith. Amen. That is why even atheists have some kind of faith. Do you understand? Yeah. See, before you can be an atheist, you have to believe, first of all, that there is a God people talk about and that you don't believe in him. You get it? Yeah. So you have to come from believing to not believing. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And so God has given everybody an ability to believe, you know. Now, from that point on, what happens to your faith depends largely on you. Hallelujah. So there are different descriptions: little faith, great faith, weak faith, strong faith, exceeding growing faith, increasing faith. Luke chapter 17 and verse 3, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Amen. They said, Lord, increase our faith. We want more faith. Hallelujah. We want more faith. We want to be able to believe. And I'm sure many of us feel that way sometimes or often, isn't it? That there are times when you wish you believed a bit more, isn't it? You wish that you could believe a bit more, because there are times when what you're wishing for is something you so desperately need, you know, that you have faith, then suddenly you begin to doubt, and you start to think, what if it doesn't happen, you know? So then you go from, will it happen, to it will happen, perhaps it won't happen, and as you're going through the different phases and different motions, you start to, you know, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. This is what somebody told Jesus. Jesus told him, if only you believe. Then he said, Lord, I believe. Then suddenly he said, help my unbelief. Do you get it? So in case I don't believe, you help me, Lord. But somehow, I just need this help. Hallelujah. And so, faith can increase. Amen. And that's why the disciples were asking for God to increase their faith. Now, another type of faith or another description of faith is faith unfeigned. Faith unfeigned. And that's found in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, now the end of the commandment, 1 Timothy chapter 5, chapter 1 and verse 5. Now the end of all, of the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Unfeigned means not feigned, which means genuine, means sincere faith. Hallelujah. So you need to have faith that is sincere. Sometimes faith can be insincere. It's not real. It's not genuine faith. Do you understand? Sometimes you may claim to be trusting God, but it's because you have your foot on something. Do you understand? You may say that I'm trusting God, you know, to help me pay my tuition, or I'm trusting God to help me get this or that. But that's because someone has already promised you that you're going to do something, or bank promised to give you a loan, or, you know, something like that. So it's a claim to faith, but it's not genuine faith. Hallelujah. When you have faith, the faith itself is the substance of what you hope for. Hallelujah. It is not any promise from anyone. It is not any projection you have or any signs that things are looking up. It's not anything like that. Hallelujah. Another description is unwavering faith. Unwavering faith. You know, that's found in James chapter 1 and verse 6, where the Bible talks about people asking the Lord. Okay, let's start reading from. Do we have the scriptures on the screen today? James chapter 1. Let's start from verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Hallelujah. Now, this is one of the least prayed least requests that people make of God. Hallelujah. A lot of people do not ask God for wisdom at all. Most people just live and just move by common sense and just operate by what occurs to them, you know. And for some reason, we seem to be very loyal to our thoughts, and we have a lot of faith in our thoughts, that once it's in your mind, you must be right. You see, so most of us are very convinced about our thoughts, about our ideas, and so on and so forth. And it's only time that proves that what you once thought was a very wise move was a real stupid move. You see what I'm saying? But the Bible teaches that we can ask God for wisdom. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you must ask God for it. Well, it's not hard to determine that you lack wisdom. Just look at your track record. You just look at this series of decisions you've been taking. Or sometimes you see the way your life is going, you know, or you see the way things are turning out all around you. And you can know very quickly that something is missing. You know, you need some guidance. You need some help in decision taking. You need some help in understanding and recognizing wisdom. You know, you should be able to see it by just looking at the way things are going. Or the Bible says wisdom is justified by her children. In other words, the proof of wisdom is in what it produces. You know, so when you look at what has come out of your decisions, out of your choices, out of the things you have done, it's easy to tell that this was a wise move and that was not a wise move. Hallelujah. But thank God that when you come to the conclusion that you do not have wisdom, the Bible says you can ask of God. Anyone who recognizes their need for wisdom can ask of God. It says, ask God, and God who gives wisdom to all men. God gives wisdom to everyone who asks. Hallelujah. It says he gives wisdom liberally, because that is one thing God has a lot of. Amen. God has a lot of wisdom, and He shares wisdom liberally. Amen. And the Bible says, it shall be given him. It shall be given him. Hallelujah. Then the next verse says, but let him ask in faith. You know, let him ask in faith. Let him ask for wisdom in faith. Hallelujah. Then it says, nothing wavering. You know, so you can approach God with faith, but your faith may be wavering. You know, when it's wavering, it means it's not stable. It means at some point you think he will, at another point you think he won't. It's up and down. And it says, no, God wants you to believe that if you ask him for wisdom, he will give it to you. Hallelujah. So he says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Hallelujah. So it's driven with the wind. It's driven by circumstances that you can't control, you know, and it's tossed up and down. You can never tell what direction the waves of the sea will be going, you know. And they're going sometimes to the left, sometimes to the right. Sometimes it's coming towards you. Sometimes it seems to be going backwards, you know. And it's up and down in all directions, all over the place. And the Bible is saying that when you approach God to ask him for wisdom, ask in faith. Amen. Ask believing that God will give you wisdom. If I were you, I would be praying every day for wisdom. Because you need wisdom. You can't get through this life without wisdom. Hallelujah. And God can give you wisdom. And when you have wisdom, it puts you ahead of your challenges. It puts you ahead of your enemies. It puts you ahead of the things that are trying to hold you back, the things that are holding you down, the things that are destroying your life, the things that are ruining your life. Wisdom is a key to overcoming all those things. Hallelujah. Wisdom can help you in your relationships. Wisdom can help you at work. Wisdom can help you in your financial management, the management of your finances. Many of us are broke who shouldn't be broke at all. You know, many people are broke. They don't have anything who should not be in that situation at all. You know, when the time comes for filing taxes, some people are surprised that the government says they have this money or that they have earned this money because they can't see any of it. You see what I'm saying? But many times it is because we are victims of poor financial management. But God can give wisdom for the management of finances that can cause a little to become a lot. Hallelujah. For a little income to become a lot, or to be able to achieve many things, or to accomplish many things with a little something that you have. Hallelujah. But God says you have to ask. And he wants you to ask first in faith. Ask believing that God does give wisdom to people who ask for wisdom. And he says, nothing wavering. Hallelujah. Then the next verse 7 says, for let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Which man? The man that is asking for wisdom, but who is wavering in faith. He says, let not that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Hallelujah. So a good answer to the question about why our prayers often are not answered is this one right here. Here is one of the answers to that question, which is that wavering faith does not achieve anything in prayer. Hallelujah. So if you have chosen to believe, believe. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, if you have chosen to believe, then believe all the way. Hallelujah. If you decide to walk in faith, take it all the way, and that is going to bless you. Say amen. Amen. Right. Now, while we're still in James, we have the next description of faith, which is rich faith. Rich faith. And that's found in James chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Rich in faith. So a person can be rich also in faith. Amen. That you can, when you are rich in something, it means you have a lot of it. Isn't it? means that thing is not scarce around you. And the Bible is saying that a person can be rich when it comes to faith. Amen. And he says poor people in particular are rich in faith. Poor people believe more. Hallelujah. Poor people have a lot of faith. That's why the largest churches are often found in the poorest parts of the world. Hallelujah. Because they have a lot of faith. Poor people are more humble. One of the things that goes with faith is humility. Do you understand? And when you sometimes don't have answers, when you are so needy and when you are in so many situations that force you to look up. You see, even in rich countries, when people have money and so on, from time to time, people get to a place where you see that you're backed up to the wall and your money cannot save you. Suddenly, such people also begin to have faith because their condition or situation has made them poor in a certain sense, because suddenly money cannot buy. So money doesn't make a difference anymore. The fact that you have a million, 2 million, 300 million does not really make a difference because you are in a place where money cannot take you out. You see what I'm saying? So at that point, the rich and the poor become the same and we all become poor because we are all neutralized and the money doesn't really matter. You see? But you see that when people find themselves in such situations, they are able to come up with faith. They start to look for a higher power. They start to look for a higher being. They start to look for something greater than themselves, greater than their education, greater than their money, greater than what they know, their connections, and so on and so forth. And anyone who can help them in any way is respected by them. Hallelujah. So that's for people who are well-to-do and so on and so forth. They are in these kinds of situations from time to time. But the poor are in this situation all the time. Hallelujah. So poor people often have a lot of faith. They believe that they can be helped by someone. Hallelujah. Yeah. When they're at the stoplight, when you see a genuine poor person at the stoplight, they ask everyone for money because they have a lot of faith that somebody will give to them. Do you understand? Yeah. And sometimes you are very broke, but they have faith. They think you have. Do you see? Yeah, they think you're rich. You look to them like a rich person. And even though you are very broken, you don't have anything in your pocket at all, they have faith and they approach you. I saw, it was like a picture or something like that, that someone had put up on Facebook. And it was a photo of a beggar just at the stoplight. Somebody was begging people for money. And then this guy comes around and he says he doesn't have any cash or doesn't have any money. And to his surprise, the beggar pulls out a swiping machine and he takes credit cards. You know, right there at the stoplight. If you want to charge it, you're welcome. You know, yeah. So that's someone who has a lot of faith, you know, and is doing his work of begging very seriously. And has taken it to another level. Hallelujah. Right. Then the next type of faith or the next description of faith is perfect faith or mature faith. Mature or perfect faith. Then after that you have world overcoming faith. World overcoming faith. You know, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. The Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. It says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatever is born of God overcomes. Hallelujah. Anything that has its source in God is born to overcome. Hallelujah. Now, you can't be an overcomer without a fight. In fact, the word overcome just means to come over. To be able to come over means there has to be an obstacle. There has to be something to come over. There has to be something to cross over. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you should not be surprised when your life or your path is often loaded with obstacles. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because life is just like that. But we're supposed to come over when we are born of God. Every child of God has the capacity to come over the circumstances and overcome difficulties and challenges and things. Difficulties and obstacles and challenges are not meant to stop us. They are meant to be overcome by us. Are you getting what I'm saying? You cannot have victory. You know, you think about all the nice words that you have in Christ, like all the nice Christian words we love to use. Like victory, like breakthrough, isn't it? Like blessing, like what? Like what? Like powerful, like favor. You know, all these words seem to imply there's a fight of some sort, isn't it? Yeah, you say breakthrough, I've got my breakthrough, you know. It just means you overcame something and you broke through it. Is it not the case? Yeah, when you say victory, victory implies or presupposes that there was some kind of a fight. You see what I'm saying? So when you're doing something and the thing is challenging or is difficult, you have to understand that it's the path to victory. You cannot lay claim to victory. You cannot even associate with that word unless you accept a fight. Do you see what I'm saying? You have to accept a fight. You take a word like win. Win. It's not a useful word unless you accept a battle. You see what I'm saying? You have to accept a battle. And then when you finish with the battle, you get to be rewarded with what they call a win. Hallelujah. So whatever you're doing, you're starting a business, you're trying to put your life together, you're trying to become someone, you're trying to, you know, have some victory in your Christian life, you have to accept that the challenges and the obstacles you meet are a part of it. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says, whatever is born of God overcomes. No matter what you put in front of that thing, it gets over it. Hallelujah. Is able to come over it because it is born of God. Things that are born of God just have that nature. When a church is born of God, it overcomes. It overcomes poor attendance. It overcomes backsliding. It overcomes, you know, accommodation problems. You know, sometimes churches get thrown out from one building to the other. I mean, you just never know where the church is going to meet. When we started church in Oakland, you know, in a short space of time, you know, we had met in 6 different places. You know, any one of 6 addresses could be our address on any Sunday morning. You know, so at a point, I remember one day I even announced in church, you know, whatever you do will be in 1 of 6 places on Sunday morning. So just call and ask which of the 6 places, where are we today? And just come. Hallelujah. Today, God has blessed us with a more stable accommodation, and we don't have that problem anymore. But whatever is born of God overcomes. It means whatever is born of God fights. Do you see what I'm saying? Because overcoming is only for fighters. It is only something that is given only to fighters. And when you don't fight, you don't overcome. When you don't fight and press on, if you don't contend with something, you're not included in the overcoming. Hallelujah. So expect a fight. Expect that whatever you're trying to do will be confronted with a fight. Expect that whatever good thing you're trying to do will become challenging. There will be some challenge in it. If you're starting a business, expect a fight. Amen. Expect a fight. Even for your health, expect a fight. Every day there are bacteria assembling around your life trying to break you down and take you out. Hallelujah. Yeah, including Ebola, which is a virus now, which is now trying to attack the world. You see what I'm saying? But you have to believe that whatever is born of God overcomes. If your idea is born of God, it will overcome. Many people will not believe in the idea. Many people will throw daggers and different things at your idea. There are some people who are great at stabbing ideas and trying to kill ideas. All you have to do is to just tell them what's on your mind. And they draw out their swords and their daggers and they just start going at your idea with different reasons why it's a bad idea. Different reasons why it will not work. different reasons why you should not start a church, different reasons why you shouldn't work for God, different reasons why you shouldn't give an offering or you shouldn't make a gift to someone or do something or relocate or do something that is unusual. There are people who specialize in that. Do you see what I'm saying? But if your idea is born of God, the Bible says it will overcome. If your idea is from God, it will overcome. If your relationship is from God, it will overcome. No matter what comes against it, it will overcome. Because whatever is born of God, are you reading it? I'm not making this up. It says whatsoever. What does whatsoever mean? It means anything soever, isn't it? It means anything forever. Hallelujah. It says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Hallelujah. And then he's showing us the elements that achieves the overcoming. And he says, this is the victory. This is the thing that wins. And that is our faith. Hallelujah. So if you have faith in whatever you are doing, it will overcome everything that sets itself up against it. So have faith. Amen. Have a lot of faith, because your faith will overcome and it will cause you to come through and be a victor in Jesus' name. Say amen. Amen. All right. Then a couple more. Failing faith. Failing faith. Failing faith can be found in Luke chapter 22 and verse 32, where Jesus was talking about Peter. He said that Satan has, well, Luke 22 and verse 31 says, let's start from verse 31. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, it says that Satan has sought you, Simon. Is it coming? All right. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Wow. See, people do not believe that the devil wants to destroy us. Do you understand? But there is someone called a devil, you know, and you have to believe that there is a devil. And number two, you have to believe that his intentions towards you are not good. Do you understand? That he's not trying to make you a champion. The devil doesn't have good plans for any child of God. Hallelujah. And so he said, the Lord said to Simon, 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 behold, Satan has desired to have you. Satan wants to have you, first of all. He wants to have you, then he says, that he may sift you as wheat. Which means when you're in company with the devil, it doesn't lead to a good place. Amen. Now, I believe that when the Lord said this to Peter or Simon, he must have been shocked. I am sure he looked everywhere immediately. Where is he? You know, when Jesus said, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, he quickly looked around to see where did he go? Where is he? You know, now, the thing is that sometimes you may not realize that as you are living under sometimes a strong demonic influence. Do you understand? That there are spirits that attack people, that come near you, that desire to have you, that they may destroy you. Hallelujah. He said the aim of Satan is to sift you as wheat. You know, when you know the way they treat wheat, the wheat usually grains covered with husk and so on, and then they beat the wheat and so on, and then after that you have to sift it and get the good out of it. And that's what Satan wants to do to a life. He just wants to shake you up and sift you like wheat and drain all the good things out of you and just blow the chaff away. Hallelujah. That's not a good plan. Amen. So Jesus said to him that, verse 32, he says, but I have prayed for you. That means prayer is the answer. Amen. Everybody say prayer is the answer. Say prayer is the answer. Hallelujah. So if you don't pray or you can't pray, then you have a huge handicap. You are weak in the wrong place. Hallelujah. You are weak in the wrong place. He says, I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for thee. That's what Jesus said. And what did I pray? He said, that your faith fail not. Hallelujah. So it begins with prayer. Amen. But what really does it? Oh, he says, when your faith fails, that's what gives Satan access to you. Amen. He says that your faith should not fail. I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. So that your faith should not fail. You're going to need it to be able to fight Satan when he comes after your life. Can I have an amen? He says that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Hallelujah. So right there you can see that Jesus is describing one of the things that can happen to faith, which is that faith can fail. Hallelujah. Faith can fail. In a moment of temptation, faith can fail. In a moment of pressure or coming under attack, your faith can fail. But he said, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Can I have an amen? So may you have faith that does not fail. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Then I have one more. Well, two more. The next one is shipwrecked faith. Shipwrecked faith. Shipwrecked faith is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Okay? So he says, holding faith and a good conscience. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Isn't it? Shipwreck is just a ship that set out to go to some place and then encounters some kind of an accident on the deep sea, and then the whole thing is abandoned. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that can happen to your faith. Many people who start out believing sometimes end up in a different place. You see people who used to go to church at a point, they don't go to church anymore. Their whole faith in God is destroyed. You know, they don't have faith anymore. They don't believe in church anymore. They don't believe in being preached to anymore. They don't believe in reading their Bibles anymore. It's like they started out well and they meant well, but somehow they don't know what hit them and when. Before they know it, their faith is gone. So that's another thing that can happen to faith. And then the last one is dead faith. Dead faith is non-responsive faith. It's just dead. And that's found in James chapter 2 and verse 17. It says, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Did you see that? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So faith can die. Hallelujah. Faith can die. You can be alive in faith one moment, and the next moment your faith is dead. Because when something is dead, it means the thing has no life in it at all. It's not working, it's non-responsive, it's just not there anymore. Hallelujah. And the Bible says faith dies when it doesn't have works. When there's no corresponding action going with faith, it causes faith to die. So the life of faith is corresponding action. Hallelujah. Action that is consistent with what you're trusting God for and what you're believing God for. So let's take our church, for example. Our faith in what we're doing is going to die if it's not backed by corresponding action. The action must be that, look, we're starting a church. We must be at the church. We must attend the church. You know, we must continue to build the church. We must come here and act like we're having church. We must sing like a church does. We must preach like a church does. You understand? We must receive our tithes and our offerings like a church does. And you must say amen to the preacher just like a church does. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? It must be backed by corresponding action. Years ago, I heard someone say, it was like a motivational speaker who came to my school campus, and the person was, they were trying to organize some people to, you know, just to be motivated and so on. And when they went to the class, because one of my roommates went to the class, the first thing they taught them was just a line. And the guy taught them, he said, to be enthusiastic, you have to act enthusiastic. All right? So when they would go for this class, they would spend like the first 15 minutes or so just repeating, to be enthusiastic, you have to act enthusiastic. So they would just go there and then they would start. To be enthusiastic, you have to act enthusiastic. And they would do that for about 15 minutes. You know, and by the time they are done, everyone is so charged up. Everyone is so enthusiastic. You understand? Because enthusiasm does not come from sitting cool and just relaxing and say, I am enthusiastic. It's not a way to be. It's a thing to do. Do you see what I'm saying? So faith also, when it's not backed by corresponding action, it dies. Do you see what I'm saying? It dies. When you believe in God to be healed and to walk in healing and good health, you have to act it. You have to rise up and trust God and start acting what you're believing God for. Hallelujah. And start walking towards it by faith and start doing what faith says. And you will start to see that your life will begin to change. Hallelujah. If you're trusting God to be a prosperous businessman, start acting like a prosperous businessman. You see what I'm saying? Start acting like a serious businessman. Start dressing the part. Start looking the part. Start looking like a prosperous person who is serious about what they are doing. Hallelujah. I'm trusting God to have a room full of people. I mean, a mega church. And so when I'm preaching, I don't preach like, you know, I can count all of you, you know, and I could really put this down and I would talk to all of you very calmly and be myself, and I'm sure you would all understand. But the reason why I have the microphone is I'm seeing more than you. You see what I'm saying? And I'm preaching and I'm trying to reach beyond you. I'm trying to reach to the crowd that I'm expecting. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that's the way it is. That's how to have faith. Without that, the Bible says your faith is dead. You have it, but it's dead. It's like you have a horse that's dead. You can't ride it. It won't take you anywhere. Hallelujah. Is one thing having faith and another thing keeping that faith alive. Hallelujah. Is one thing having faith and another thing keeping the faith useful and relevant. And faith gets its life from corresponding action. Amen. Action that corresponds with what you're trusting God for. Hallelujah. And that is going to be a blessing to you. Say amen. So that's the end of my message today. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Wow. Are you blessed today? Did you learn something? Okay. Right. So let's bow our heads in prayer and let's pray. Everybody bow your heads, please, in prayer. We're just closing in a moment. And I want you to be encouraged today and just think of yourself. Try to locate yourself where faith is concerned. Perhaps your faith is dead or is shipwrecked. Something hit your faith. Maybe you had an experience or something happened that has caused you to lose your faith and you don't believe anymore because of what happened. That's faith that has suffered a wreck and that's been lost to that wreck. But God is able to restore your faith this morning. Just think about it. Many of the descriptions, or one or two or more of the descriptions, perhaps apply to the state of your faith right now. But I want you to trust God today and say, Lord, I want to be full of faith. That's one of the ones that I left up. One of the descriptions of faith is to be full of faith. To be full of faith. To be full of faith. And that's where you want to be today, just pray to the Lord like the disciples did and say, Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. I want to have more faith, Lord. I want to have more faith, Lord. I want to believe. I want to trust. I want to believe that all things are possible. Perhaps there's an area of your life that needs some attention, that needs some supernatural intervention, something you know you cannot do for yourself. It is more complicated than getting up and going to do something for yourself. That even if you did what you know to do, you know that the results are not guaranteed, that you cannot influence the outcome in any way. But you do know that God is great, that God is mighty, that God is all-powerful, and God can help you. Or perhaps you're one of those who needs to say this morning, Lord, I need wisdom. I realize my track record has not been good, and I need wisdom. No one is too young to be wise. God is able to give you wisdom ahead of your age and ahead of your times, ahead of your generation. God can give you the wisdom of a grown person, even though you're a very young person. And God can bless you with such wisdom this morning. And I want you to trust God, and I want you to have faith and say, Lord, I'm trusting you. Lord, I believe in you. Lord, I'm trusting you. Lord, I believe in you. In the name of Jesus. And ask God to give you wisdom. No one can do without wisdom. Every one of us needs wisdom. And I want you to pray and ask God for wisdom today. Say, wisdom for your life. Wisdom to walk with Him. Wisdom to live with others. Wisdom in your relationships with others. In the name of Jesus. Wisdom for raising children. Wisdom for managing your finances. Wisdom for studying at school. For managing your time. For relating with friends. For associating with people. Everyone needs wisdom, because at some level, your life is going to require wisdom to advance. To go from where you are to the next place, you're going to have to do something you have never done before. And you need the wisdom for recognizing that thing, for determining that thing, and even the courage to go forward with it. That's why I want you to pray this morning and ask God. Say, Lord, I want wisdom. And as I'm asking you for wisdom, I'm asking in faith, nothing wavering at all. The Bible says God gives liberally. God gives wisdom liberally. God gives wisdom, and God will give wisdom to you if you ask Him for wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing this morning in the name of Jesus. And then finally, maybe you're one of those that needs to pray this morning and say, Lord, I want faith for my relationship with you. I recognize, first of all, that I do not have such a relationship with you at all. That you are God and I am me, and that's it. But today, I don't want you just to be God, but I want you to be God over my life. I want to commit myself to you. I want to begin a true relationship with you. I want to be a child of God. I want to be a true Christian. I want to know God for real. And if that's the prayer on your heart, I want you quietly, while every eye is closed this morning, just raise up your right hand, and I'm going to pray with you. You're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I want to give my life to Jesus. I want my sins to be forgiven this day. I want the blood of Jesus to wash me and cleanse me. And I want a fresh start with God today. If that's the prayer on your heart, God can help you. Just raise up your right hand, and I'm going to pray with you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I see your hand. God bless you. Anybody else, just keep your hand up. There's nothing to be ashamed of. It's a relationship with God we're talking about. It's not a knowledge of God per se. We're talking about going beyond hearing about God and singing about God to knowing Him on a very personal level, having a real personal relationship with God. We all need it. Just keep that hand up and let's pray together. Everybody, let's pray. Let's join together and say this prayer together after me. Say, Lord Jesus. Everyone say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth that God raised you from the dead. Oh, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. I want to begin a relationship with you. I want you, Jesus, to be Lord over my life. I want you to be Lord over everything that has to do with me. I need you in my life, Jesus, and I want you in my life. So I make room for you today. Come into my heart, Lord, and make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Lord. I have faith. I have faith that you have heard me. Thank you, Lord. It's not about how I feel. It's not about my feelings anymore. It's about my faith in you and what you have said you would do. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. And everybody shouts, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen.